couple of weeks ago, I started to share on the 1st of January a whole heart and theme about walking with God in this new year. I had to quit halfway through. I noticed none of you objected. And then last week, we were going to finish it up, but the Lord interrupted our plans, as we always want Him to do. As we spoke about praying for Israel, I want to remind you about today in Paris, 70 nations are gathered to force Israel into a two-state solution. And if you will go to the website, you will find on there the PowerPoint that accompanied last week's message, and there are scriptures on there about do not divide the land. Dan sent me an article, a powerful article, on Monday afterwards, and you're seeing these things unfold. And I just want to remind you that when we touch the hand of, or the land of Israel, and we try to force them into a box and divide them up, God hates that. And He says, if you touch the land of Israel, you touch the apple of my eye. I urge you, if this has not been your thought or theme or understanding, go to the scriptures and see what the Bible teaches. Everything else that puts itself off as truth has to submit itself to the Word of God, because the Bible is the Word of truth. Now, maybe we don't always fully understand it, but how many are growing in your understanding of the Word of God? Lord, we want to grow. We want to be as close to You as we possibly can. And I really will get on with this message, but I want to give you one more theme for Bible interpretation, an overall overarching principle that will hold you even if you don't fully understand what you're reading. There's lots of texts, there's lots of commentaries, lots of things, but I want to give you one thought to tuck away and hold on to it. Let your interpretation for the Word of God be based on that which will bring you closest to Jesus Christ. As for me, I want to be as close to Him, Pastor Sherry's favorite verse, as I possibly can. Some people take interpretation from the Bible to say, what can I get away with and still be okay with God? And the opposite is the heart of the Lord. How can I get as close to Him as I possibly can? Is the thing I'm contemplating, are my next steps that I'm considering, will they help me grow closer to the Lord or take me off the path? I'm not looking for license. I'm looking for the love of God. I'm looking for His presence. Let that be one of the things that guides us as we interpret the Word of God. All right, so if you weren't here a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to do a little bit of rehearsal. Remember, it's been said that 40% of Americans make New Year's resolutions. How many actually do them? How many actually achieve them? How many? How much? 8%, not an overwhelming amount. How do they do that? How do they accomplish that New Year's resolution accomplishment? Number one, they make their goals simple and clear. Read the Bible every day. Okay, well, break it down. Maybe I'm going to start with the next 2 weeks that are left in January. There are Bible reading slips if you want to join with us and reading through the scriptures in a year. Pastor Sherry helps with Bible buddies. And, you know, there's people that want some encouragement as we read through the Bible in a year. It's one of the most important things we can do as Christians. Stay in the Word of God. Feed on the Word of God. Love the Word of God. You want to be close to Jesus? Stay in the Word of God. So make it clear. Maybe your goal shouldn't be, well, I'm going to read every single day for the rest of my life. But maybe you can say for the next 2 weeks, I'm going to read the Psalm every day, and I'm going to read the New Testament section, that Bible reading every day, and you get yourself into a new habit. Make it simple and clear. Secondly, make it doable. Make it doable. I'm going to pick up a Bible reading sheet. I'm going to take 15 minutes a day. It's doable. It's not hard. Number three, see it and share it. See it and share it. You put a reminder on your board, or maybe you put a 3x5 card on your mirror about your goal, the thing that you want to accomplish. Or maybe you have somebody that's a friend of yours that also has the same goal, and you text each other every day and you go, how you doing in your Bible? Did you read the Psalm today? Hey, I read this. This was cool. Look at this verse. You have a few characters that you can do that with. It's probably more productive than some of the tweets that are going out. All right, number four, believe that you can do it. Believe that you can do it. It's maybe I'm not hitting the right. There we go. Believe that you can do it. The scripture says in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I can see I need to hit these a little quicker this morning. There we go. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's out of the New King James. So how many have more room to grow in Jesus? We want to be conformed to his image. We're not done until we're like him. I want to think like him, act like him, speak like him, be like him more and more and more. So I'm just going to keep surrendering and running after him and walk with you and be encouraged by you and encourage you. And we're just going to keep going on. We're going to be stronger than ever in 2017. So let me give you four very simple, clear, doable, achievable goals. And yes, I will repeat the first two we got through the other day. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. If you have your Bible with you this morning, Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. And I'm going to highlight this section. This is walk with God. Is it cold in this room this morning? Is the door still open? Okay, all right. Then you just wrap yourself up, and it's better than being outside, right? It's better than being outside. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right, so number one, walk with God. Number one, walk with God. Say it with me, walk with God. Genesis 5, verse 24 tells us, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It's a powerful set of scriptures. Out of the message, Enoch walked steadily with God. Then one day, he was simply gone. God took him. The next scripture that mentions Enoch, Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. Please say it with me. That he pleased God. One more time. He pleased God. Now, we spoke a little bit about this, but the earlier scriptures in Genesis talked about he had Methuselah at age 65. And then the Bible says, and he walked with God. The whole point sometimes in our lives is that our kids and having kids and grandkids gets us to our knees and brings us closer to God, doesn't it? Come on, don't be too holy with me. Aren't you closer to God praying for your kids and grandkids? Maybe you don't have children or grandkids. Maybe it's family members. There's other people in your life that helps bring you to your knees. And Methuselah was his child. Now, we don't know a lot. That's simply conjecture. But I think it's probably a pretty good educated guess that when this man started to have children, he probably got on his knees a lot more. We also told the quick story. I'm going to tell it one more time. The old story is that daily Enoch walked with God. They would go out and they would walk. And one day they just kept walking so far. Enoch finally said, you know, I need to go back home. And God said, you know, it's closer to my house than yours. Why don't we just go on to my house? How many want to walk with God so close that you are what he wants and you'll be what he wants and you'll be in his presence? And that's how death should visit us someday, that we're walking with God and we wake up and we're face to face with him in heaven. Isn't that the promise of the scriptures? Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry for people that are suffering and for illnesses that occur, but we have this promise, we have this hope, that when we pass, we will see him face to face, and we will see those we have loved again. God is so good. So let's walk every day. Walk with God. How do you get closer to God? How do you get stronger than ever in 2017? Walk with God. Can you do that? And as you do walk with God, by the way, the problems that face us get smaller and smaller as we see him bigger and bigger. Isn't that true? Punch your neighbor and say, amen, that's truth. All right, number two, honor and speak about God. I love this section. Malachi chapter 3. Look at these scriptures. Absolutely powerful. Malachi 3, verse 16. Those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who feared the Lord and who meditate on his name. Out of the message, those whose lives honored God got together. Do you honor God this morning? So you get together, right? We got together and they talked it over. What are we doing this morning? We're talking about the Lord. We're talking it over. We're talking over what the scripture teaches. And God saw what they were doing. I love this. And he listened in. Isn't that good? Don't you wish sometimes God hadn't listened in? But aren't you glad that he's listening in now as we talk about him and we walk with him? And it says a book was opened in God's presence and minutes were taken of the meeting with the names of the God-fearers written down, all the names of those who honored God's name. New King James, they shall be mine, it says in Malachi 3, verse 17. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Turn to each other, say, hi, sparkly. You're a sparkling jewel in the hand of Jesus. Come on, it's true. You're a sparkling jewel in the hand of God. On the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man who spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. You can tell within 10 minutes, 15 minutes sometimes in a conversation between people who want to talk about God and people who don't. We're here to share Jesus with them. If they don't, let's do our best to reach them for the Lord. But God's listening. He's listening. What gets you excited? What excites you? What stirs you? The latest fashions? Television? The Internet of Things? Shopping? Puppies? Kitties? How about Jesus? What stirs you? What excites you? Zephaniah 3, verse 17 tells us something that you don't have in front of it. It goes like this. The Lord your God. Now, this is cool. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one. It's Zephaniah 3, verse 17, if you're taking notes. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one, will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, how many of you go down the street every day thinking, you know, God's singing a song over me right now? It would do you some good, wouldn't it? Keep that in mind. You know, Jesus is singing about me right now because he's listening. So let's, if we're going to grow more in the Lord, we're going to be stronger than ever in 2017. If we want to walk with God, how? You speak about him and honor him. God wants it so we can't help but share him. Let's go on. Number three, live with God. Say it with me. Live with God. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 7. Revelation 21, 3 through 7. I'm going to begin with verse 3 out of the New King James. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Listen to it out of the NIV. Now the dwelling of God is with men. He will live with them. New living. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them. Out of the message. Look. God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. How many are glad with a brand new start in life? Come on, you like new starts, new beginnings? I like a brand new year starting up. God says, behold, I make all things new when you've given your life to Jesus. And he said, write these words, for they are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I'll give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I'll be his God and he shall be my son. Look, what is he saying? Live with God. Stay in God's house. Tabernacle with God. The Bible says he builds his home over you and over me. Church is not a building. Church is God's people. Stay in God's house. Let him tabernacle with us. When two or more are gathered in his name, where is he? Right there. Right in the midst. Don't miss the gathering. Get together. And when you go home, don't say, "Did you see what Kevin was wearing this morning?" Hopefully it's, "Did you hear what was shared this morning? Did you hear what the Lord spoke to us and the song that he sang to us?" And wow, let's live with God. You know, how many remember, been around a few decades, remember the old song, "His banner over me is love"? I'm my beloved's and he is mine. His banner over me is love. You know, all that. And it's true. The scripture says he tabernacles. He builds his home. The scripture refers to the feasts. Remember the feasts in the Old Testament? The Feast of Booths is literally what this word tabernacle is all about. He builds a tabernacle. In the Greek here, it literally means he puts his booth over you. He's looking for those who want to talk about him. But wouldn't you rather hang out with somebody who likes you?
Yeah.
Sally Field would. That goes that 30 years ago. Yeah. They like me. They really like me. But wouldn't you? I mean, I want to go to the house of some place where somebody says, "Yeah, I like you. I like your stuff. And I like you. And oh, wow, we have a good time sharing together. I don't want to hang out with bitter people who don't want anything to do with me." That just makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't mean I don't love people. But God loves to live in the midst of praise and worship where people like him. He says, "That's where I build my house." So if you want to grow in the Lord, what are you going to do? Live with God. Walk with him. Honor and speak about him. Live with him. Number four, very simple. Thirst for God. Thirst for Jesus. Are you thirsty for a fresh drink of the river of God? Lord, I'm thirsty for your presence. I'm thirsty for your river. Thirsty for your spirit. And the scriptures have in Revelation 22:17, the spirit and the bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." Let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. O river of God, flow in me, flow through me. O river of God, flow in this house. O church, take a deep drink of the fresh river of life in Jesus. Don't miss the opportunity to drink deeply from the Spirit of God. We don't just come here on Sunday morning because we're the pastors. We come here to meet with Jesus with you. Because every day's a new day. It's not what we did last week, last year. It's drinking deeply from his spirit together today. Oh God, move in a fresh way. Are you thirsty for Jesus, church? I mean, really thirsty for the Lord? Thirsty for his presence? How does it tangibly walk out then? Maybe you get up a few minutes earlier. Maybe you take a little more time in the Word, or you study out that verse, and maybe you make a point of calling your brother or sister in Christ and saying, "I got this for you. I was praying for you. And the Lord spoke to my heart an encouragement for you, and I just want to share it with you." And that causes growth. Tell Jesus that you're so thirsty for his presence that you'll get out of the boat when he comes walking by. Listen to me. If you want to be stronger in the Lord, I believe the Lord is beckoning to get out of the boat. Get out of the comfort zone and say, "Jesus, is that you walking on the water?" He says, "Yeah, come on out." Well, Peter started to sink. Yeah, but he got saved by Jesus from that. He experienced something none of the rest of the other disciples did. He got out of the boat. I want to get out of the boat this year, Lord. What do you want to do in our lives, individually, in this church, through the church? How can we reach people more effectively for the Lord? How can we walk better with God? Thirst for Him. And then follow Him when He says it. You know, if you think about it, physically, you can go about, some say 21 days. People have gone 40 days fasting without food. But typically, you can only go 3 to 5 days without water, or you'll die. It's essential. Water is essential for life and for living. Sometimes, though, why do we go so long without taking a deep drink from His Spirit? Why, Lord? We need to love Jesus and His presence even more than ever. We need to love the water of life. He comes to the thirsty and to the needy. Is that you? It's me this morning. I'm thirsty and needy for you, Lord. Walk with Jesus, honor and speak about Jesus, live with Jesus, and thirst for Jesus. I'm going to go to a conclusion in about 2 hours. We'll get there. Three vital questions that I want to ask you. I mentioned these a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to bring them back up this morning, and I actually go over them every year at this time because this makes a difference to our walk. I want to ask you, church, what kind of Christian do you want to be? If the answer is, I just want to attend church every now and then, everybody's welcome here. Okay? If your answer is, I want to understand the Word of God better, we have ways that we can help you. We have a Bible for you to read if you don't have a Bible. That if your answer is, I want to be the best Christian I can be, I want to grow, I'm sold out the whole route, I want to be just like Him, and I'm not satisfied until I know I'm like Him and with Him face to face, that's the attitude I believe God wants to honor. What kind of Christian do you want to be? And your answer to that question leads to number two. Then, therefore, what kind of Christianity do you want to live? Well, why don't you guys just cool it on the gifts stuff? Why don't you just be a nice formal church? And you might get more people that way. Might. But we're not going to put the Holy Spirit in the back room here. He gets front and center. Jesus is front and center. To the best of our ability. I want the river of God to flow. And do I do it perfectly? No. I just want to grow. Because, see, I answered number one with a heart that says, oh God, whatever it takes, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be a sold out Christian. I want to be that kind of Christian that I see in the Bible. When I look and I saw people surrender to you, and yes, it affected their entire lives. Anybody's welcome here. You don't have to be crazy like me. But I believe the Bible tells us, Jesus tells us, there's something for us to live. And if you want to be that kind of Christian, it means the Christianity you want to live is more than just theology. It's more than just history. It's more than just monasteries. It's praise God for those who have served so wonderfully through the generations. And it's not just pointing back to a past revival. It's saying, oh God, I want to see the moving of your Spirit today. Today. And then, therefore, when you determine what kind of Christianity you want to live, what kind of church do you want to have? The answer to the first two lead to the answer to the third. Now, I'm going to go over several things with you. Just hang on to your seats because this is some repetition. What kind of church do you want to have? We've talked about these things before. If you want information, you can have information. We'll do our best. Usually I use history and past and Greek and Hebrew and different things to try to give you information. You should be able to come to church knowing I've learned something today. But if that's all it is, we won't change. So there should be inspiration. There should be something in your heart this morning that says, you know, I feel better having been to church. I feel good. Just like I knew that I would. Inspiration. It should be something that burns in our hearts. Remember, they walked with Jesus after the resurrection. They said, didn't our hearts burn within us as the Holy Spirit moves? And then thirdly, more importantly, there needs to be impartation of his presence. Lord, I receive your healing. I receive your presence. We sing these songs and I receive that prophecy, that song, that's for me. You said you see me. You hear me. You know me. I'm hanging on the edge, but you're the one who catches me. But impartation provides the necessary revelation. Open our eyes, Lord, that comes for what really makes the difference. And that's transformation. Transform me, Lord, more into your image than ever before. I'm going to give you a very practical guide to the new year. And then on your way out the door, I want you to stop long enough for Pastor Sherry and I to give you a little gift, just something to take home with you. A very practical guide to living with God and walking with God in the new year. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, say it with me, would you please? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God's called us to prayer for our nation, for Israel. He's called us watchmen on the wall. I've posted watchmen on your walls. O Jerusalem, they'll never be silent day or night. You who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. Be watchmen on the walls. And what's the end of the matter? And it's still not the end of the message. It's the end of the matter, but not the end of the message. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and watch it out of the message. He who testifies to all these things says it again. I'm on my way. I'll be there soon. Yes, come, Master Jesus. The grace of the Master Jesus be with you all. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Final things. Very practical. As you move into the new year, surrender to God and honor the Father. How many want to surrender to him in a fresh way? Do whatever you want, Lord. I surrender. Take my hands off the wheel. You're driving this car. Surrender to Jesus. Get out of the boat at his command. I want to encourage you with these first three steps. Make room for Jesus. Come on. Make room for Jesus. He might interrupt your schedule. He might interrupt your activity. He might quiet you down enough to listen to him and to use you in a fresh way. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. Surrender. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I urge you to do so. God's got a precious gift awaiting you. Number four, live in the Word of God, just like we talked about. Consume it as your fresh daily bread. Enter into passionate worship. Passionate worship. Release the gifts of the Spirit in your life. With a hot heart, stand before the Lord. Having done all, stand. Stand and shout in the house of God. And let the heart of God come through you. And dance and raise your hands and clap your hands. And rejoice. If you can sing or shout louder at a football game than you do on church, shame on us for ever letting that happen. We shout at the football game on the television. And we come to church and we go, oh, that's too radical. Come on, church. Let's get radical for Jesus. Enter into passionate worship. Release the gifts. If you want to experience the gifts of the Spirit, I urge you, come on Wednesday night and we learn together if maybe you've never ministered the gifts of the Spirit before. Share Jesus with others more than ever, stronger than ever before. Share Jesus with others. Bring them to him. Evangelize. Can't do that? Sure you can. Just tell them the good news of what Jesus has done for you. Offer to pray for him. Invite him to church. It's not as complex as we make it. And then I really want you to read out loud with me, number seven. Redeem the time. We need to stop acting as if we won't or can't. Time is short. What would you do if you knew you only had days or weeks or months to live? How would you live? Who would you reach and how? We'll pray together with you, stand with you. We'll encourage each other, and we'll cheer for each other this year with every step of growth that is taken. Walk with Jesus like your very life depends on it. Because it does. Walk with Jesus. Honor Jesus. Speak about him. Live with him. Thirst for him. And church, with all my heart, I hope you join with me in saying, let's see him come in fresh revival in 2017. I'm going to read it again, then I'm going to tell you a little story and we'll close. Say it with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Musicians, will you come? I'm going to tell you a final little story. We're going to go back to that song, Your Name, the key of A. And I'm not just going to tell you an old story to tell you an old story. I really want to highlight what this is all about. It was 1871. Now, some people don't know the name Dwight L. Moody. Anybody in this room ever hear of D.L. Moody? I don't know if you're aware. D.L. Moody was a man who was baptized in the Spirit of God, believed in the gifts of the Spirit, wrote books, had miracles in his ministry, and in the ensuing generations that have come, most of his books have had that experience written out of them. It's a tragedy because some people don't believe in this. But D.L. Moody, listen to the heart of the man. Fall of 1871, he was speaking in Brooklyn, New York, with very few results. Some unnamed saint came up and said quietly to him these words. You know, we got plenty of preaching in Brooklyn, but if you'll tell us something about the Bible with Holy Spirit power, it'll be a blessing. That one sentence changed his walk and his faith, and his life for the rest of his life. It was a November night, the same year, he was only 34 years of age, and he literally walked the streets of New York sobbing, crying, broken before God, crying out, oh God, why don't you compel me to walk close to you all the time? Why don't you deliver me from myself? Take absolute sway. Give me your Holy Spirit, oh God. The Spirit of God came upon him so powerfully, he rushed to the home of a friend and he asked for a room where he could be alone. And he went in and he shut the door. And for hours, he was alone with God. As God came upon him and gave him a special favor and anointing. And Dwight L. Moody went on to be one of the greatest evangelists we have ever seen in our nation as well as in the world. And at his funeral, people lined up for hours and hours and hours and hours who had been touched by the ministry of D.L. Moody because he came to a place where he said, I don't want to do business as usual anymore. I want to grow. I want to be what you want me to be, oh God. I want to walk in your anointing, in your power, in your presence. How many want more of Jesus in 2017? Would you stand with me, please? If you would do something with me, right along with me, would you raise your hands and pray along with me if this is your prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I surrender to you, to the Father, to the Spirit. I commit myself to you. I'll follow your promptings. I'm going to get out of the boat and grow more in you than ever before this year. I want to be stronger than ever. And Lord, I want to be everything that you want me to be. And I surrender now in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, today we yield to you, we surrender to you, and we go out of this place full of joy, full of rejoicing that you are the God who has all things in control. Thank you, Lord, that you've heard our hearts today, that you've heard and seen our surrender to you in a fresh way today, that you hear the longing of our hearts to be stronger than ever in Jesus as we go from this place. Thank you for it, Lord. Now, if you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, this is the day for you to do so. Surrender to Him. Ask Him to come into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior by faith. Through His grace, it's good news. He loves you so much. There'll be a team of people. There'll be people here to help you. Surrender to Jesus if you want to pray that prayer today. God loves you so much, and so do we. We'll be here next Sunday morning at this time celebrating. Wednesday night, 6:30, 240 Maple Lane. We have a grace gathering from 6:30 to 8 where we share the scriptures together and have a great time with the Lord. We invite you to that as well. Raise your hands to receive the blessing, would you? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Another scripture says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. They all said, amen. Be released in a great day in the presence of the Lord. We'll see you at the doorway.